You've got guys like Robert Thomas. I'll be perfectly honest with you guys here. I don't think they were ever in a situation where they were going to trade Robert Thomas. I mean, he's 26, 27 years old. You're talking about a guy that's really getting into his the prime of his career here. I think that situation there was one where they were listening. When you have a Doug Armstrong telling his fellow peers that everybody is on the line, you're probably listening to other teams calling you instead of soliciting such a player.
I'm sorry, Zach. I forgot the name. You just told me who that was. Luke Horak. Thank you. On Robert Thomas. I'm in a little bit of a rabbit hole suddenly.
Is it a Robert Thomas rabbit hole?
It's a Sneaky Joe rabbit hole.
Uh-oh.
It's only Joe can sort of
twists and turns that are to come.
So he had the numbers on Benson. So Benson leads the NHL in penalty minutes these playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't know, they've been off for like a week, more than a week.
Yeah, right.
They're not in this round. Although, you know, there have been sweeps, right? There was another one.
Yeah.
He had a sweep.
Vegas swept Colorado last night.
Nonetheless, he's in first place with 64 penalty minutes. And Joe says not only was that five misconducts, so that's how he got to 64. I mean, it had to be more than two.
Yeah, yeah,
right. Because he didn't take 17 tripping penalties.
Right, yeah. Or fighting majors.
It wasn't a fight. It wasn't a single fight.
Right, zero.
Five misconducts. Joe says from NHL.com, only three players in NHL history have more than that in a single playoff.
All four rounds.
Yes.
Or three rounds, way back. Whatever, still. Like, so he got...
They're all four rounds. They're all
right.
In
okay.
70s and on.
Okay.
But they're also not that recent because hockey's different.
Right.
Dave Schultz is one. Dave Schultz, how about this guy? Former Sabre after he played for Philadelphia and was... Mm-hmm. How do you do this? Show me. I know it's math. How do you amass 472 penalty minutes in a season in 76 games? Like, explain that to me. How do you run up? Let me get my calculator out here.
What you need to know, and there was a time when I used to know this. You know,
six a game
back in the mid '90s when I first started. I used to know. Maybe Rob even told me, because I did a lot of radio shows with Rob Ray when I first started out here. And, you know, Rob, of course, was someone who would amass, you know, I don't think he ever got to 478, but he was regularly in the high 300s in penalty minutes in that era. And there's a way that they sort of the bookkeeping goes on the I mean, a 10-minute misconduct is obviously a 10-minute misconduct. I don't know what you get. This is what the part I think I used to know. What
game?
You get dinged if you get a game misconduct.
I think it's 10.
It's only 10 more?
I think so.
Okay.
It's not 60.
No, it's definitely not 60.
I think it's 10.
I just didn't know if it was more based on when it happened or what. Like,
I,
you know.
I think if you got, there's a brawl, and you got 5-10 in a game, I think that's 25.
Okay.
Which I bet there were a few of those.
Yeah, Rob, there were a lot of those.
Rob's career high was his first full season, 350.
Okay.
He also led the league a second time in 99. He led the league 261. Also won the King Clancy. That's how you do it. You lead the league in penalty minutes and take down that King Clancy.
Right.
Hi, Rob. Dave Schultz, 472 penalty minutes in one season the year before they beat the Sabres in the finals. And when they beat the Sabres in the finals, he was in one fight only. Did even the Flyers like sort of back for that? He had a total of 13 penalty minutes in six games. And I can't tell you for sure who he fought. Maybe someone remembers.
I'm racking my brain. I just saw, it must have been the anniversary of the game, Sabres Classics on Twitter, like posts like pretty long, lengthy clips sometimes. And I saw a Schultz fight from the finals. Or should I say final? Anyway, from that Stanley Cup final. And Rick Dudley is standing on the outskirts of it watching with another guy who he ends up fighting.
Bob Kelly.
Right after. Right. Now we've named everyone except who is fighting. Oh, It might be Schoenfeld.
It is.
Okay, yeah.
If I knew it was going to be either from the box score, Dudley or Schoenfeld, but the way you laid it out. It's
Schoenfeld, yeah. And they really just tied each other up. Does anybody really need me to review a fight from 1975?
Yes, I'm begging you.
Nothing really happened.
I'm thinking of becoming an investor. Excited.
Like, I remember Schultz fighting Danny a couple times, not in the finals, but like, you know, in those years. And I didn't remember him ever fighting Shoney. And so the clip, I think the text with the clip said, like, here's a Schoenfeld show. And I sort of sat up in my chair, like, ooh, I want to see this. And it wasn't much. They just wrestled a lot. It was, you know, so anyway. The Dudley-Kelly fight was pretty good, though. Those two guys went hard. Anyhow.
If you win a fight, should you get, like, one less minute of penalty time?
Mm.
Just an idea. It's the offseason. So Schultz, Chris Nylon, for 86 Canadians that won the cup also. Mm-hmm. Well, the Schultz year is the year before, I think. Nylon, and then Neil Sheehy, who played for Washington before that Calgary. There was a season where he got into a lot of trouble.
Okay.
With penalties. But Benson had 5 misconduct penalties, and only 3 players in NHL history. Those 3 players have had more for 1 playoff, and Benson is out in the second round. Well, I wonder if he would have gotten to like 10.
Right.
He could have added to that list. There's probably a point at which you get fined. Or maybe you get fined for all of them. I don't know. There might be a point at which, like, all right, you get to this many penalty minutes or this many misconducts, you owe me 10 grand. Something like that.
There is something like that attached to instigator penalties, I think. But I don't know if there is to just misconducts, period.
Okay.
So, anyway. That's a lot of work for Benson. I didn't realize it was 5 misconducts.
I know. Well, to the original point.
I mean, what? Anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
He's not somebody. He's not coming out. Like,
no.
There could be, and this again is open for fans. Like, is there something big enough to raise eyebrows that you would want to see the Sabres do? And most of that would be moving someone off the team, I think. That's kind of how they're at, where they're at right now. Let us know. 803-0550 to do that. But it would not be Benson. I think he's kind of like the emotional heartbeat or something of the Sabres.
They're not moving him.
Too many jerseys.
They
sold out of jerseys.
They'll sooner give him an 8-year, $56 million contract than they would include him in a trade.
Are you for that? Is that safe to do?
The only hesitation I have about it is that in the short term, his contract is up and that immediately is on the books. There's no, like, Byram, for instance, they can give a big extension to, and he's still going to be at last year's number. Because
waits a year before it kicks
right,
in.
Benson is going right on the books. And so if money's going to be tight, you know, you might like to bridge him, but the risk of bridging him is if he breaks through and becomes a 65-point player, like basically replaces Tuck's production, then you're paying, if his contract is up in another 2 years, like you bridge him 2 years, like 2 years, $12 million or something, say, or 10 even, and you get there, then you're paying manufacturer's price. Then.
But you might bet against that. If I'm Yarmo, I don't think I'm going to get there where I'm going to worry about that. I think I want to make the deal.
The big deal.
Yeah, I've never liked the bridges. This goes back to Reinhardt.
Yeah.
Because that was always the talk. And didn't they do that with Reinhardt?
Oh, they did it to the point where when it was time to do a long one, he was like, I want to leave.
No, that didn't work out.
No.
I'm not sure I would have rushed to the microphone to say this last year, but I know I said it before that, before we had any sort of new information on guys like Samuelson. I like it this way. I think they had a good idea. They weren't alone in this. They didn't invent anything, but they were not fazed by the Eichel result, and they went in and made long-term Owen Power. They went in and just sort of, you're here for a long time. We say yes. And, you know, young guys, especially Samuelson, young guys like that are going to maybe say yes to that because that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're happy, Thompson.
Right. When you're in your early 20s, you might still think it's 5 years down the road you're going to get that kind of security in your career. And then suddenly it's like.
Or you could get hurt.
You just showed up and you've got it. Like, okay, I'll do that.
This is Thompson. This is Samuelson. This is Power. Mm-hmm. This became Doan. Like, this is a chunk of the team.
Yep.
And I like it. I mean, when it was bad, you had plenty of people who wanted to point out that the Samuelson contract was what it was. And, I mean, I wasn't going to argue with it because it didn't look like it was going to work out. But now what? Like, now they all look like great deals.
Samuelson's one of the best bargains in the league this year.
That happened.
Yeah.
He was the opposite of that.
He's getting paid like half price.
And what was it a year ago?
Literally, for the job he's doing, he's getting paid half.
A year ago, you would have said the complete opposite of that.
Right.
This is terrible.
He's stealing $4.25 million.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, how these players produce, as we know, is a function somewhat of who's on the team and who are their line mates and how good is the team, how deep are they. Like, Benson should benefit from that, you would think. That is easier to say if Tuck's here. But still, like, they're pretty deep now, even though these guys are young. So I don't think I need to play games with Benson, because I also don't think it should be top dollar for a long-term deal.
Right. He should,
6 or 7 years.
He should be in a position to get the Doan contract.
7 for 7.
I think somewhere, and that's why I said 8 for 56. I mean, he's their property, so they can go 8 years.
Yep.
That's kind of what I was. Yeah, I mean, I already, last summer, you mentioned this. There's something I can't show it to you. I'll grab it off the wall one of these times and show everybody on YouTube or Twitch. But I've got the lineup from last summer. Basically, I did that. Benson was the top line left winger in my head last year at this time. So I think even if Tuck stays, I think Benson, his production should just go up. I think he's going to play hopefully he stays healthy. He had injuries this year that limited him. What did he play, 60 games
60,
or something?
Yeah, I think it's the number.
In that 60, 63, somewhere like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's not the biggest guy, so maybe durability is a concern. I don't know, but the production should get there is the point. Like, if you sign him to a long-range deal that's a projection, you still should come out ahead with him. Because I think even though he hasn't scored a lot, I think it'll come if he's in that spot.
And, it is 65 games.
And I don't see any reason why he shouldn't be in that spot.
65 regular season games, 42 penalty minutes. A far cry from the 64 penalty minutes of the playoffs.
And what was it, 43 points? Do you have it there?
43 points.
43 points, right.
Yeah.
So
almost all at even strength.
Yeah. Get him to what did Tuck have? 66 points, 33 goals. Get me 15 more points, Benson.
Not a lot to ask.
I don't think so, especially if you play, you know, almost 20 more games.
Right.
So, I think I would. You've talked me into a. I don't think I need. The only reason I like the bridge there is again because of the cap this year. Like, if a bridge with him helps you keep Tuck, then I think I want to vote bridge. But if you're not paying Tuck no matter what, then the longer you go out with a guy like Benson, the better, I think. Years-wise, I mean.
It's been the blueprint.
Yep.
It is a different GM. I'm not sure that'll mean anything to what the blueprint has been. If you like him, pay him. Done. And even when the Sabres were losing, I always thought that was a good plan.
One thing that is a little tricky now, I think, about getting guys to do that is the cap. The cap was very flat when the Sabres did all that work. They were coming out of COVID, not just the Sabres, the whole league, the business model. And any sort of commitment cash was, you know, a player was going to leap at it. Now the cap is expected to keep accelerating and you might have a harder time getting guys to agree to like sell off seven, eight years of their career when, you know, the big stars have done, Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, big stars on the market have gone shorter term because they want another crack at it, because if top guys are going to start getting $15 million, they want to get back in line, you know, instead of the 11 or 12 that they're currently getting. So I wonder if a player not on that superstar tier is, you know, similarly inclined. Like, should I commit to 7 right now when if I wait 2 years, I can get 10?
A skyrocketing salary cap might just mean it's a great time to think about becoming a minority investor. Maybe now owners could really use the help. Just throwing that out. I want to keep that on the table here. Something to think about.
I'll take back some empties.
Yes. Empties, yes. We had empties. My wife's sister's family live in Toronto, and they brought, is this against the law? I hope I don't cause trouble. Fizzy water from Canada into the States and our party. And now we're like, oh, we have to sift out the fizzy water that Pam brought because we can't return it.
You can't recycle it?
You can recycle anything, but you can't get 5 cents.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So they have to go into a separate bag.
Gotcha. And
that was literally a thing that happened in my house yesterday. Is like, separate.
Oh, wow.
We had, you know, beer drinkers and other people. Separate the Pam Pops from the other Pops.
Gotcha. Right.
Just, you know.
Don't want to try
public service.
Don't want to try to slip the, you know, the machine will
waste
shut down.
Time.
You just be real trouble.
Yeah, that's right. Then the line forms.
Nobody wants that.
No. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, at 803-0550. This is WGR.